You don't hear much from the Democrats about the First Amendment. You hear little or nothing about freedom of speech and, of course, virtually nothing about freedom of religion. God forbid. America's first freedom didn't even make the cut in what everyone agrees is the most radical document of the Democratic Party's history. That is, the Democratic Party political platform. Not a mention about freedom of religion in the First Amendment of the Constitution, not one. Obama's former head of the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, the EEOC, Chai Feldblum, made the following statement about special rights, especially with regard to LGBT rights and religious liberty, as follows. Gays win, she said. Christians lose. I have a hard time, Feldblum said, coming up with any case in which religious liberty should win. A real hard time doing that. There you have it, you Christians, you losers. You lost to the LGBT movement and its newly found so-called special rights. So, get ready for genderless bathrooms. And, of course, special treatment for transgenders, my fellow Americans. Here they come, along with gay sex education curriculum, gay history, and more. Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts was prescient when he stated that the finding by the Supreme Court of the constitutional right to gay marriage would trigger endless strife and litigation between this new so-called constitutional right and the freedom of religion granted by the First Amendment. Boy, was Roberts ever right. And that battle has only just begun. In the secular world of Obama, who once claimed to be a Christian, do you believe that? This president and the Feldblums he employs will make absolutely certain that Christians lose and secularists, including and especially LGBT members, will win every legal and every constitutional battle. Betcha they will. When Congressman Jared Polis, Democrat from Colorado, who himself identifies as gay, suggested there may be room to accommodate men and women of faith, that comment was treated like blaspheme. A spokesman for the pro-LGBT Gill Foundation quickly interjected, quote, I want to be careful that we don't say there is a kind of balance between equality and religious freedom, end quote. No balance there, no accommodation, all or nothing, you Christian losers. In short, the LGBT movement has only just begun its legal assault upon religion and religious freedom, and especially Christianity. It was interesting indeed that the Democrats opened their convention proceedings in Philadelphia in July with a word of prayer. From a Christian minister, no less, who stated in her prayer, We have an opportunity, O God, to give undeniable evidence to our commitment to justice and equality by nominating Hillary Rodham Clinton as our candidate for the highest office in the land. So said this African-American female minister. The prayer was offered by the Reverend Cynthia Hale, but during every word of that prayer, the secular and socialist attendees began booing and jeering and interrupting and disrespecting, and before the prayer ended, those hecklers were yelling, Bernie, 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 right in the middle of the prayer. More evidence of what the Democratic Party thinks of freedom of religion and the right to pray. Remember that when you vote this November, my fellow Americans. And do not ever forget the words of Harvard Law School professor Mark Kushnet, a leader in the attempt to vanquish conservative and Christian values from the social marketplace, who wrote the following, Mr. Kushnet did, The culture wars are over. They, the Christians, they lost, and we won. We won. There it is again, Christian friends, from the secularists, the liberals, and the Democrats. You lost, you losers. You lost. And more from Kushnet. For liberals and Democrats, the question now is how to deal with the losers. My own judgment is that taking a hard line, you lost, live with it, you lost, live with it, is better than trying to accommodate the losers. So, there is your new label, people of faith, and especially Christians. Loser. You lost. Give up the fight. For the Democrats, starting with Obama and Feldblum and virtually everyone in the Obama administration, they are determined to excise conservative and Christian values from the marketplace any way they can. You know, it really makes me cringe personally when I think that Obama actually told America that he found Christ. What Christ, I wonder, did President Obama find? Hillary Rodham Clinton claims to be a Methodist, or at least has come from a Methodist upbringing. But the only time anyone ever heard of Clinton attending church was when she turned up in the pulpit to stump for voters in black churches. She has done that several times, but of course, never went back to worship. Small wonder that recent polling shows the Democratic Party includes in its ranks nearly four times, repeat, four times as many atheists and agnostics as the Republican Party. I recall the words of Dr. David Jeremiah, one of America's foremost Christian leaders, who said in the title of his new book, "I never thought I'd see the day." What great words. I never thought I'd see the day. Neither did I. Did you? And speaking of the Democrats, please don't ever forget the words of Gene Weingarten of the Washington Post, who addressed us, the losers, that is, the Christians and conservatives, as thoughts and prayers people. Well, thoughts and prayers people. Weingarten said, "Dear thoughts and prayers people, please shut up and slink away. You are the problem, and everyone knows it." "Please shut up," the man said. "Shut up and slink away? Not me." Unbelievable. But there it comes. More of it. There's the disrespect. There's the arm's length. There's the only remedy they have for we the losers. To Weingarten and all like him, conservatives and Christians are the problem for virtually everything. Whether cause or effect, if you are a person of faith, you are the problem. And the Weingarten, Feldblum, Kushnet Democrats want you absolutely out of the way and out of America's new mainstream culture. You are for them nothing more than a loser. A loser. And that's a real fighting word, don't you think? That is the call now loud and clear to fight the fight of faith. Don't you think? So, if it's a fighting word, let's fight the fight of faith. We the people of faith, the thoughts and prayers people, better fight that fight of faith now, or we will definitely see the erosion of religious liberty and eventually perhaps its elimination. We better stand up now, or we may have to sit down forever. And there's even more mockery, a watering down of all things Christian. There is a man in Philadelphia by the name of Michael Grant who calls himself Philly Jesus. Philly Jesus. He dresses in a long white gown and, of course, has long hair and a beard, and he jokes that he, with his iPhone, get this now, he, with his iPhone, is on the family plan with God and the Holy Ghost. Can you believe that? He carries an 8-foot wooden cross around the city, and whatever his motives may be, the bottom line is hilarity and mockery of the Christ of the gospel. And so by all who see him. So typical of our times, are they not? So little respect for Christianity. And then comes Ben-Hur, the new version. The film, though produced and directed by Christians, is, in the words of one reviewer, quote, "a watered-down Christianity which mirrors the sentiments of today's fearful-to-offend evangelicalism," end quote. Fearful-to-offend. Does that sound like you? This film, the new Ben-Hur, utterly misses the main point of the Christ. And the reviewer goes on to say, "Christ's specifically salvific, that is, salvation role, which made him the center of Christian theology for the past 2,000 years, goes missing in the film." Not even there. The new Ben-Hur neither presents Christ clearly as the Messiah, nor the King whose kingdom is not of this world. Jesus' death on the cross has no particular religious significance here in the new version of the film Ben-Hur. What a shame. What a shame. The original did. And the radical, secular, anti-Christian drumbeat goes on and on. The new Ben-Hur has nothing of the truth and impact of The Passion of the Christ. Remember that one? That great movie produced by Mel Gibson. Gibson never hesitated to imbue the crucifixion of Jesus with every ounce of theological meaning that he saw. The Passion of the Christ brilliantly displayed the suffering, the agony of the crucifixion in a way which corresponded to the enormity of human depravity. Ah, what a world, my fellow Americans, what a world. We the people of faith better fight the fight of faith, or we are in danger of losing that faith. Are you ready to fight? Ready or not, it's here. And then there is, of course, the Johnson Amendment of 1954, which forbids churches and pastors to deal with politics, politicians, or political issues from the pulpit. And you can be certain that the tenets of this amendment will be called upon more and more into play by radical secularists who are determined to do as much harm to Christianity, both in the marketplace and eventually within the four walls of the churches, as possible before this fight is over. And you should encourage your pastor to stand tall for God and country. Does he? Or does she? And then there is the man who works at the University of Michigan campus and hospital, who works with many, he says, who say they are Christian. But their conduct, he says, does not display anything recognizable which may be coming from our Holy Bible. This man of the medical world says as follows: if you endorse abortion or gay marriage, and other secular popular views, no matter how sincere you are, these actions are not in alignment with being obedient to God. Amen to that, sir. Amen. And it does seem, does it not, that so many Christians are making every effort to compromise and accommodate the new thinking, the new radical secularism, and to find new ways to turn the other cheek. No matter that scriptures, the Old and New Testaments, flat out forbid and condemn all things unnatural, absolute and categorical condemnation, if there is any way to accommodate and compromise so as not to be caught in the crosshairs of radical liberal fire, these wishy-washy Christians will do so. There are so many Christians, so-called today, who seem to feel and act that way. I hope you're not one. Perhaps intimidated, fearful of radical reprisals, and consequently silenced. Losers in the new social debate. They are those unwilling to take up the cross and follow. They are those unwilling to lay all on the altar for the faith that is within them, and in so many ways show their lack of love for the crucified Christ. In response to their words and conduct, they may very well hear these words from him: depart from me. Depart from me. I never knew you. I never knew you. And now comes TechNet, a coalition of major technology companies' senior executives who have urged Capitol Hill leaders not to pass the so-called Russell Amendment, which simply makes clear that current law recognizing the rights of religious organizations to take into account faith in employment decisions does indeed apply to those ministries providing public services as government contractors. TechNet leaders like the presidents of Apple, Comcast, and Google fight against the amendment and as a consequence urge Washington to discriminate against religious organizations. Why? Why? And when the new world of technology joins forces with the new radical liberal forces at work, the end result is a barrage of ammunition against people of faith and religious liberty, which can have disastrous effects. Remember that, my fellow Americans. Remember that the next time you buy the brand new Apple iPhone. Remember what the senior executives of Apple want for this country. And then comes the so-called Equality Act, legislation in the works which would force acceptance of special protections for homosexual and transgender behavior in 25 areas of federal law, with no religious liberty protections for people of faith who disagree. Following the finding of this new constitutional right for gay marriage and all rights associated therewith, now comes the Equality Act, which would transform the enormous total of 25 areas of federal law, guaranteeing and protecting these new rights with no religious liberty protections for people of faith. Yet more radical social legislation, radical, directed against the losers, the people of faith. You know, you should write your senators and congresspersons passionately objecting to this new legislation, the Equality Act, for if it is passed, it would be an absolute disaster for people of faith. And of course, now comes Black Lives Matter. That really is a good-sounding title, is it not, except for what is underneath it? Not content with matters of race, Black Lives Matter, in its platform, and in reality its true political nature, accuses Israel of conducting genocide, genocide against the Palestinian people. And Black Lives Matter calls Israel an apartheid state. And that's nothing more, in my opinion, than a new form of anti-Semitism at work. But that led the Ecumenical Leadership Council of Missouri, representing hundreds of predominantly African-American churches, thank God, throughout the state of Missouri, to issue a statement rejecting without hesitation any notion or assertion that Israel operates as an apartheid country. Ah, you know how rewarding it is to know that African-American churches are finally standing up to these unwarranted attacks against Israel, and as a result, the Judeo-Christian ethics and values determined to be heard and to speak the truth as they know it. Good for them. Would that all pastors at all churches would do the very same. So many so-called Protestant churches avidly espouse the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement. That movement seeks to isolate Israel as an apartheid state, as the Black Lives Matter movement calls it, through economic boycott, the selling off of all investments in Israel, and the refusal to do business with Israel under any circumstances, and to sanction Israel at every level of international commerce and social intercourse. It is not a good day to be a Christian or a Jew unless all such people of faith are willing to stand up and fight back, and do so now, and do so aggressively. Will you do that, my fellow Americans? Will you? And then there is the group of pastors suing the state of Illinois over a law that bars Christian therapists and counselors from trying to change a minor's sexual orientation, which these pastors claim is violating free speech and religious rights. The suit in federal court dares to state the following: homosexuality is contrary to God's purpose and a disorder that can be resisted or overcome by those who seek to be faithful to God and His Word. Right out of the Scripture, I would think. Fighting words, are they not? Wow, that got the liberals' attention. How interesting that there are those now beginning to stand up and be faithful to God and His Word. I can only wonder how the courts, the federal courts, will react to those assertions. So, the battle wages, and it has only just begun. But there are good signs of people of faith fighting back for the faith. A listener to the Crawford Stand in Birmingham, Alabama, told the story of a friend who was shopping in Birmingham and was approached by a boy about 5 years old who pointed a coat hanger at her like a gun and said, quote, "I'm going to kill you because you are a girl," end quote. Can you believe that? A boy about 5 years old says, "I'm going to kill you because you're a girl." The woman was shocked and expected an apology from the parents, but got only in response nothing more than a chuckle from them, to which this good woman said boldly, "I will pray to Jesus for you. I will pray to Jesus for you." The adult parents of this young boy were offended, seemingly Islamists, that anyone would dare mention the name of Jesus to them, and off they went in a huff. You can be sure that such verbal conduct, a strong statement of faith by this bold woman, may soon become hate speech, no matter the freedoms of speech and the freedom of religion guaranteed by the First Amendment. The radical secularist administration of Obama and the one to come from Clinton, if she is elected, will see to the further evisceration of First Amendment rights and eventually their elimination. Oh, it's time for America to wake up and stand up. Again, the fight is on, and you are in it, whether you want to be or not. Remember the words of John Adams: liberty once lost is lost forever. You lose those First Amendment rights, my fellow American, and they are gone for good. And then comes America's official national motto: in God we trust. Ah, isn't that beautiful? In God we trust. Four fantastic words. And that motto has been on the U.S. currency since legislation was enacted by Congress and signed into law by President Dwight D. Eisenhower some 60 years ago. Can you believe that? And now comes anti-Christian activist Michael Newdow, who has twice unsuccessfully sued the federal government to remove "under God" from our Pledge of Allegiance. Suing the United States of America, the United States Congress, the Secretary of the Treasury, and directors from the U.S. Mint and Bureau of Engraving and Printing, demanding that the Supreme Court will determine that this 60-year-old motto, "In God We Trust," is an unconstitutional violation of the separation of church and state. Well, given the tenor and behavior of this Supreme Court, Newdow may well win, and that motto will be excised. Yet another removal of God and religious values and statements from American life. Again, with Dr. David Jeremiah, "I never thought I'd see the day." Never. And then, of course, there is that Pledge of Allegiance, which includes the word sure to be attacked, "under God." One nation under God. One Flag Day, June 14, 1954, President Dwight D. Eisenhower signed the proposed congressional amendment into law. That amendment was sponsored by the Knights of Columbus, a strong Catholic organization which did a good thing for America and hopefully will stand up for America, as anything under God will be subject to attack now and forevermore. Don't let it happen. And then there is Democratic vice presidential nominee Senator Tim Kaine. Mr. Kaine professes to be a practicing Roman Catholic. As Tim Kaine gave a speech to a far-left LGBT activist group, Kaine actually invoked the Bible, as evidence that his church, the Roman Catholic Church, was wrong. Mr. Kaine accuses his own church of being wrong in his own infinite wisdom on the issue of marriage. Kaine stated the following, quote, "And you know, like many people of faith, including maybe many in this room, my support for marriage equality, now my full, complete, and unconditional support for marriage equality, is at odds with the current doctrine of the Catholic Church that I still attend." Can you believe that audacity? "But I think that's going to change, too," he said. "I think that's going to change, too." He said it twice. Huh. Can you believe that? I hope the Catholic Church is listening to men like Kaine so that they can utterly ignore them and stand up for what's right. I find it absolutely unbelievable that Tim Kaine, a so-called practicing Roman Catholic, would dare to challenge the 2,000-year-old teaching regarding marriage from the Catholic Church in all of his liberal wisdom. Who the heck is he? Just more evidence, my fellow Americans, what the Democrats, including and especially Clinton and Kaine, really think about faith and the Bible and religious doctrine and religious liberties. Remember that when you vote in November. In response to Kaine's ridiculous remarks, Catholic Diocese of Richmond Bishop Francis DiLorenzo issued the following statement. Said DiLorenzo, quote, "The Catholic Church's 2,000-year-old teaching to the truth about what constitutes marriage remains unchanged and resolute between one man and one woman." Amen, Bishop. Amen. That and much more we the people will get from Clinton, Kaine, and the Democrats if they are elected. Will you elect them? And please don't forget ISIS. The 15th issue of the Islamic State's Dabiq magazine, Breaking the Cross, that's the title, Breaking the Cross states the following. ISIS calls on the population of Europe to abandon their infidelity and accept Islam, the religion of sincerity and submission to the Lord of the heavens and the earth. And more from Breaking the Cross and ISIS. We call on you to reflect on those questions as the bloodthirsty knights of the caliphate continue to wage their war of just terror against you. Well, there it is again. The waging of war from yet another source against Christianity and all other faiths not Islamic. Beware of them. They say to you, convert to Islam, all the world in fact, or live under the threat of ISIS and Islamic terror. Small wonder that increasing numbers of Muslim refugees in Switzerland and Germany are converting to Christianity, according to many reports. I understand that. The persecution of Christians is far more aggressive the world over. Iranian authorities beat and arrested 5 Christian men last week for their faith in Christ. What did they do? Why, they were engaged in a joyous family party when Iranian police stormed in and rounded up 15 people. And when they resisted, they were brutally beaten. The party by Christians was in private, at home, and even that cannot be tolerated by the extreme Iranian Islamic regime. You imagine what things would be like in America if they were in control? And the Egyptian parliament passed a new law regulating church building, which will in essence curtail or even forbid the construction of certain new Christian churches. And the clergy in Britain are advised not to wear collars in public. To do so may make them targets for Islamist terrorism. Can you believe that? There are also new British security measures which recommend the stationing of armed security outside churches. In Britain, they recommend the installing of cameras and having vicars carry personal attack alarms. Does your church in America have security at work? Guards? Cameras? Attack alarms? Someday they may need them. The day may come here in our beloved USA when that will become absolutely necessary, my fellow Americans. It's already happening in Great Britain. But the NRB, the National Religious Broadcasters, and many of its members do in fact stand up, and in this case for Israel. Good work. Hundreds of Christian leaders across the United States have signed their names to a letter asking the nation's next president, and I don't want to bother with this one, it's a waste of time, to stand with Israel. Stand with Israel. Would that every church rich in the history of Judeo-Christian values and faith would do the same. The Constitution of Egypt stipulates freedom of religion for Islam and Christianity and Judaism, but not for any other faith. No matter, there is now a new law which allows local authorities to forbid new church buildings and requires any new churches that are built to be commensurate with the number of Christians in that area. In other words, don't make it too big. Unfortunately, that law allows Egyptian mobs to attack Christians as they will. As one Christian legislator said, an attack with impunity, simply because they are Christian. No matter that there are as many as 9 million Coptic Christians living in Egypt, 9 million, they are second-class citizens at best, and often without governmental protection. And in China, two Christian summer camp organizers were detained. Why? On the charge of, quote, indoctrinating minors with superstitious beliefs. That is Christian beliefs, end quote. Can you believe that? Indoctrinating minors. What, by preaching the gospel? In China, Christian parents and church leaders can get into trouble with police if they involve their children in any Christian activities. Oh, my Lord, what a world. And then, of course, there is the new legislation in Russia known as the Yarovaya Package, under the guise of anti-terrorist rhetoric, which forbids people to share their faith with a neighbor or passerby and applies to all religious activity, including an especially evangelical activity, except, of course, the favored and preferential Russian Orthodox Church. They get a pass. Speak out for your faith, Christian, and off to a Russian jail you will go, especially you evangelicals. The hatred against people of faith, and especially Christianity and Judaism, with the unbelievable rise in anti-Semitism, goes on the world over, not only not stopping, but growing. So the fight is on big time, my fellow Christians and people of faith, and you are in it whether you like it or not. If you witness, or if you testify, you can be accused of terrorist activity. Not to mention hate speech. Yes, indeed, you can be accused of hate speech for spreading the gospel, and off to jail you go. You are then labeled bigot, you bigot. You are then labeled dinosaur, you loser. You are then labeled homophobe, you big-time loser, and intolerant. So shut up and sit down, says Mr. Kushnet, the Democrat. Shut up and sit down, you losers. Join the radical secular revolution or off to jail you go. And you can bet your last copy of the Gospel of John that this will happen in America sooner or later. So we have no choice but to fight the fight of faith, none at all. If we do not stand up and fight for the right to our faith, and for religious liberty, and for freedom of speech, and for real constitutional guarantees and rights, we will in fact be losers and lose them. And so will the faith given once and for all to all mankind. The call to stand is not only for Christians, but for Jews and for all people of faith. For the battle is now public. It's in the marketplace. But that battle may very well be taken to the four walls of the church or the synagogue, sooner or later. we the people of faith will be losers indeed if we allow that to happen. I won't. Will you? The fight is on, my fellow Americans. Get on with the fight. America needs you now more than ever in that fight.